Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome, everybody, to Brotherly Love Wrestling. We've been away for a little bit, took a little bit of time off. And since we were,
about
a week, since we were last talking to you, we were getting ready with our live Facebook show, the pre-show to AEW Revolution and Sting's last match. So I say we pick up right there, Joe. Now that the dust is cleared and we're almost two full weeks past it, how do you feel about the match? How do you feel how he went out? Even though I know you weren't excited for the Bucks being his last match, how do you think now, looking back, how it kind of went?
So I think even in the live show, I said I don't know if I used the exact terminology of hopefully optimistic, but that's how I went into it. So I kind of went in with like no expectations. All I know is it was Sting's last match, so I was going to watch it.
Yeah.
I got to the point of where I build up for probably weeks, like, I think it's stupid that's the Bucks. And then when it came time to it, I was just happy to be watching Sting's last match, so nothing else really mattered. And to my delight and surprise, it was a fucking great send-off. It was really well done. It's not even that he won and that he pinned them, but it was like his greatest hits plus some other crazy shit involved.
Yeah.
But it was his greatest hits with an AEW spin, if I could put it any other way.
Yeah.
Because they're known more for their hardcore shit and whatnot. And it was a train wreck, but it was a beautiful train wreck at that. I will say that my if I were to nitpick anything, I wish it would have ended at 10 o'clock and not past midnight. I was able to go to work the next day. All was well. So it really is. I would have to really reach like I just did to complain about it. I will say this, that when I'm not in studio, I feel like a fucking celebrity when I'm on Zoom. I feel like you're interviewing me. I feel like pro wrestling. I feel like I am the guest.
Is it because like you're not physically in the studios? So that's why?
Yeah, it's like
being in a different location.
You asked me a question, I answered it. I feel like I'm doing an interview. I'm on the Zoom call. You're in the studio. Yeah, man. This is the one with Joe.
Well, we've had about 313 of those, so I don't think this qualifies.
Yeah, but I finally, after 313, I finally get my own title for the show.
First of all, if you look back in our catalog, there's plenty titles with your name in them.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, this one could just be simple, the one with Joe.
That could mean a couple different things too. So it could
We don't know. Could be the other Joe. The Joe that we don't know. Could be Joe Mama. Could be a guy that we found in the streets named Joe.
Could be Samoa Joe.
So no, Yeah, it could be with the. Do they really think we got Samoa Joe?
Well, look, we once titled a show that had Ospreay and Rollins in it. Didn't stop us then.
They'll end up coming to fruition at one point in time. if we wish it hard enough,
I don't think
we'll have them both on.
Don't think it will.
We just got to get our foot in the door with this whole WWE thing. We'll be all right. We got to find out. We got to poke Van Vliet or Art Vandalay and fucking Chris Vandalay and see how he did it. See whose ass he had to kiss to get in there. We can kiss ass. We can kiss ass with the best of them. We'll get in there. Your fucking forehead is glistening, by the way.
Thank you. Freshly shaved. I hope it would be.
Freshly shaved. I will segue into this. I have to fucking wear a mustache for fucking WrestleMania.
It is official, ladies and gentlemen. The match is happening, even though at our live show I played the clip of the bet thinking it was going to happen because it looked that way. But now it is absolutely 100% official. Joe's beautiful beard will be gone. Yeah,
I've been growing it out too, and it's like full right now.
That's awesome. And then we'll have this beautiful mustache. I cannot wait to see you WrestleMania week. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
I might just pull the trigger early. Might get it out of the way. Just ride it and see what the general response is. Because I think it's going to need a week to set in. So I might have to do it a week prior. Because if I just go full mustache like right on that Friday, like it's bad news.
Dude, you have to. That has to be it. You have to do it like Thursday night.
Thursday night. And
you have to like do it Thursday night because we got Battleground Friday night. So it'll be a fresh, full mustache Friday night.
So I haven't told Danielle yet.
Oh my God, that's even better.
Yeah. So there's also that chestnut because I honestly don't know what to say about this one. I thought I've logically spoken myself. Once again, I have fantasy booked myself into believing that something could be true when all signs were pointing for it was not.
Look, the promotional commercial was those four coming to a head. Like, you had to believe that was going to fucking be it.
You can call me dense. You can call me a lot of things. Maybe I was just hoping a sort. Like I said, I talked myself into believing something was true.
I've been smiling so long since I've been talking about this. My cheeks hurt. That's how excited I am about this. Like, physically, my cheeks hurt. I gotta stop smiling.
I'm very happy. I am very happy for you.
I'm very happy.
Is this any way to treat a guest?
Well, my cheeks hurt so bad. But we did say Ospreay and Rollins, so I do want to stick with AEW Revolution. Some of the things that I did love about that.
I think that might be like probably our only real WWE talk for the night. This is going to be heavily dominated since coming off of Revolution. The news has probably been more in favor, even though it is the build to WrestleMania. I mean, I feel like AEW pulled some shit together after Revolution.
Yeah, I mean, there's one more thing we could talk about after AEW, but I want to stick with AEW. At least coming out of that night, you had Ospreay, who I thought even before was, but I think more now to American fans who may not watch Japan and watch AEW as a casual fan, and seeing what Ospreay and Takeshita did that night was fucking phenomenal. I think match of the night. I mean, wrestling match of the night, like Sting's moment was the moment of the night. But I think as far as a wrestling match goes, that fucking match was absolutely insane and ridiculous. Danielson and Kingston were really good too. But Ospreay, he continues, and I knew how good he was. I watched a lot of his shit from Japan. There's always something that impresses me about Will Ospreay. And even last night, today's Thursday, we're recording on Thursday, last night watching Dynamite, the promo he cuts, like you could feel his passion. He made you believe what he was saying because he believed what he was saying. Like, I think, yeah. Yeah, I think this is the perfect spot for him in AEW. I don't think he could do this in WWE. I think his style fits in AEW.
I think his style fits, and I think so. Any of those names that were to come in, I'm going to think that they're going to get the type of reaction of AJ Styles. Like, that's what I think. Like, I think that they're going to get the initial, like, really big reaction, and then it'll kind of, like, die down a little bit, and then it'll kind of ride waves. But Ospreay's a better promo than Styles, so he could always keep him engaged that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, and I hope, and I know I mentioned this before, I mean, he is, like, don't try and push him into a weird, like, in-between persona. Like, he's pure baby face right now.
Absolutely.
And they don't have it. They just don't have that. They needed it, I believe, of someone that like fans actually want to cheer, and they're cheering like everything. Like there's a few.
Yeah, you're right. There's a few that are legitimate. Yeah, you know I mean, like I think Orange, I think Eddie Kingston, they're real like straight on baby faces. But yeah, there are very few. Yeah, I think Ospreay's one of them.
So Kingston, I put in that, yes, I leaned more towards a baby face, but I put slightly, like I put like a foot, maybe a finger in the gray area.
Okay.
Because, like, I know everyone's behind him. He's a great, like, he invokes feeling.
Yeah.
But he is only in between in his style. And the way he goes about things, because he's still a trash talker, he's still kind of like dick-ish. But he's a New Yorker, so I don't. I mean, that could just be who he is.
Yeah,
that kind of is who he is.
I was gonna say that. Yeah,
New Yorkers are dickish.
Dickish. Okay.
Yeah. But no, I think so. Here's what I'm interested in from Ospreay, because how many big guys did he ever go against in New Japan and anything like that? Like, I know he's been in the ring with Walter before, and that was, I mean, Walter's an anomaly, though, because Walter's another one of those guys that is just one of those mesh guys, and he meshes with everybody.
Yeah.
So I want to see Ospreay against, like, the bigger guys. Like, I want to see him, because we already know he can work the Omegas. He can work that style, and he works it probably the best in the world. I mean, at this point right now in his career, he worked it better than Rollins. I thought Rollins worked less flashier, but similar fast-paced, get your shit in type thing. Like, the problem is AEW lacks some size.
As far as big names, like their names, they have size, because you look at Hobbs, look, that those thing that was supposed to be the Meat Madness, whatever it was, like, you have those guys. You have a Keith Lee who's hurt, you have a Miro, you have Lance Archer, you have big fucking dudes, but you're not elevating them to that level. I mean, Wardlow obviously just had a title fight against Joe last night, but which I want to talk about as well. But yeah, you have big fucking dudes. It's just none of them. I mean, maybe with Wardlow, they're trying right now, but none of them are that, like, the WWE level, because that's what WWE always was big guys. Yeah, you don't have any guys to where you put up against. I mean, Hobbs, maybe. Hobbs is a big, impressive fucking dude, but I don't know. I don't think they've built anybody.
Yeah, but that's what I want to. I want to see him out of the. I want to see him work everybody, every style, because he's pretty comfortable in his fast paced style that he's in, whatever hybrid style. But I'd like to see him, in the ring with Danielson. I want to see him do everything. Like he's at the point. He's really over.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to broaden his horizon to get past where he's at now.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think his presentation, I think him as a baby face, I'm all in for him. He's one that I'm definitely watching for. Another one that it was a giant surprise and is actually going to get me to watch on Saturday night is the return of Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Now, they did a little tease with the Kingdom, with the Undisputed Kingdom, and he kind of shoved it off and said something in Roddy's ear, and we don't know what he said. And then last night, they announced that on Collision on Saturday, you're going to have him versus, what's the guy's name? He has like the kind of cowboy gimmick. Keith Jackson, maybe? Or I forget what his name is. They signed him off the Indies not too long ago. So I know that's his first match back. And they stressed.
Keith Jackson.
What? It's not Keith Jackson. I can't remember the guy. I can see his face. I can't remember his name.
Something. I think it's something. I think it's something Keith.
But anyway, yeah, I'm gonna look it up. But I think they're really laying into him being on his own. Like, I got to do this on my own. So, I mean, I'm good with that.
I honestly thought that was him. I thought that was him at his best in NXT when he was by himself.
I think when he was forced to be, yeah, I agree.
He got massively over, and he got himself into major Brian Keith.
Thank you, Brian Keith. Right? Yes.
I think he got himself into main title picture. Kyle O'Reilly's that type of guy of where, I mean, it's not going to take him long, like, if at all, to become massively over as a single star.
I agree.
I mean, Kyle O'Reilly is just – he's like one of those guys that's like really likable. Even when being a bad guy, still very – oddly very likable.
Yeah.
Like, he's another one that would be a mega big baby face for AEW. He was for NXT. He was a huge baby face for NXT. Mm-hmm. Like, he could – substantial help. And what AEW, if they do anything that could potentially be right – they would do a quote-unquote brand split and have Collision and Dynamite as two separate entities altogether, where you can start building your roster where you don't have to force everybody or certain people on both shows. Like, you can have, obviously, Dynamite's where the majority of their eyes are, so you keep the Bucks over there.
I like that idea. Well, yeah, I like that idea, but you have so many big names that you could do a WWE brand split, like a style of a WWE brand split. Dude, they just had last Saturday, which I completely missed because I don't watch Collision, because they haven't drawn me to Collision in any way before this point. Well, they just had Adam Copeland show up and like, it completely surprised them. I think there was 375,000 people watching Collision on a Saturday that saw Adam Copeland. That's it. That's fucking a WWE Hall of Famer showing up on your Saturday night TV, and you had a little over a quarter million people watching it. That's it. No one fucking knew it was coming because no one's watching. And, like, I get it, it's supposed to be a surprise, but, like, no one's fucking watching a WWE Hall of Famer, a legit Hall of Fame caliber wrestler, on a Saturday night wrestling show. No one's watching it. You need to do something to draw fucking eyes to watch that weekly.
Well, here's the thing. What probably would have helped is if they announced him to be there, that probably would have gotten a little bit. At least you would have known.
Yeah.
And people would have tuned in for it. And then you do something while you have the eyes. Like, that's why I thought, like, they're, like, and they're kind of, like, they're not out of it, but I don't foresee them being, like, when they bring in new people and they debut them and it's a big surprise. Like, normally when you do that, like, you have, like, it's leaked. So people are watching.
Yeah.
So you have something else on the show that's big as well.
I agree.
So. You do, Adam Copeland's going to be there, and then you do something else that's big while people are watching and be like, oh, here's a reason to watch it now. Cool.
Yeah.
Kind of like they have their advertising isn't great. They kind of they fly by the I mean, it's blatant. They fly by the seat of their pants. I mean, they're finally getting somewhat of I mean, their booking got better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, their booking got better. Their storyline has slowly started to get better again. I think last week, right after Sting's retirement match, that first Dynamite, you had the debut of Okada and him instantly turning heel. Looked like he was coming out for the save on Eddie Kingston. Instead, turns on Eddie with the Rainmaker and aligns himself with the Bucks, which...
Matthew and Nicholas. You call them Matthew and Nicholas, damn it.
I didn't call them Matt and Nick. I said the Bucks. They're still the Young Bucks. At the moment it happened, I liked it a lot because I thought it was something different. I thought it was great because we've never seen Okada as heel. And then now fast forward to this past Wednesday, last night, I don't have a reason to dislike Okada. I think obviously a lot of people have a reason not to dislike Okada. Like, why? Why are we disliking him? Because he's with the Bucks? That's not enough. This dude, we've been waiting for this dude to come to America and be an American-based wrestler for a while now. And every time he's going to enter an arena, and you saw it last night in Boston, that coin drop and his music hit, huge pop. He hits the Rainmaker, huge pop. Even a 1-2-3 in the trios match for them, the heels, because Okada was pinning the guy. Like, you don't think it's going to happen everywhere they fucking go for at least the next year, which is why I thought AEW was smart with CM Punk and him not turning heel, although that obviously got muddied up later. But
just a little bit.
Originally, they were smart in not having him heel because everyone wants to see him. Everyone wants to cheer them. They haven't seen him yet. So everyone wants to pop. Everyone wants to cheer. Same thing with Okada. All these American cities haven't had a chance to see Okada, with the exception of a handful when New Japan came over. And even then, he didn't travel a lot of those dates. So everyone wants to like and cheer Okada. No one wants to boo him, even when he's heel. It doesn't make... Now that I look at it, I'm like, man, I was excited, but I don't know if I'm going to like this now. Like, the concept was cool, but I don't know if they're going to get me to hate Okada, because I want to like Okada right now.
I think it's way too early. And yeah, this is me being the one that has to say this. I think it's way too early. I mean, I think it's smart in a sense that if they do this at first, the majority of people aren't going to be clamoring. And I haven't seen anything yet. And like I said, it's early, but a lot of people, if he came in as babyface, Okada, people would be clamoring for him to be in that title picture, like right off the bat. Like, him being a heel and aligning himself with the Bucks kind of locks him in this, like, I mean, a faction. So he's look at that. He's in a trios match. He's beating up jobbers. I mean, it takes him out of singles competition.
I mean, those three guys are not exactly jobbers that he was fighting.
If they were on WWE TV and it was Brock Lesnar, they would be jobbers.
Yeah, but it's so, Eddie Kingston. It's fucking...
No.
Last week. Okay.
No. This was a legitimate... This was the legitimate challenge week.
Oh, okay.
Last week was him just fucking beating the shit out of people.
I thought you were talking about last night. That's why I said that. Okay.
No, and honestly, I would like to see a few more weeks of Okada just destroying the lower tier wrestlers and people they bring in from whatever city they're in, just destroying that hemorrhoid. And just, we don't see that much anymore. I mean, I know that's me being old and be like, well, back in my day, they used to job out and we used to make stars that way. But I will beat this fucking point into the goddamn ground if I have to. The blueprint fucking works. You want to make a massive star, have him beat the shit. Don't even give him like competition yet. So when he gets like, man, he's just beating everybody, and then you put someone else, someone somewhat reputable, he just beats that. Like, have him just, I mean, the problem is with AEW is that they want you to focus on the record.
And the rankings.
Yeah, they've done it too many times to where people have gone undefeated for like months, like when they first debut. Yeah. I mean, I don't see anything different for Okada. I don't see anything really different for Ospreay. Like, I don't see Ospreay losing for a little bit. Spoiler alert for anybody listening right now and hasn't seen or fucking opened their eyes to the wrestling world. I don't see Mercedes Moné fucking losing anytime soon. Like, I feel like when they come in, it's kind of like, and if you're that, like, supposed to be that big of a deal, like, it's just like, all right, well, I'm going to put you in really great matches. Like, it's not going to be heavily storylined or whatnot, or maybe it'll be lightly storylined. Because I think this ends up like Okada beating fucking Kingston for those titles.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do to hold them off, but I know it's going to be Okada Omega 4, right? 4, 5, whatever the iteration is.
Whatever it is, but Omega's not cleared yet.
No, I know. That's the ultimate goal.
I think that's the ultimate goal is to be, because they've already alluded to it by kicking Kenny out of the Elite.
Yeah.
And when Kenny comes back, I think that's when we get, I mean, if I were to take a guess, I think that's when we get overly over Okada, because I think the Bucks turn on him. I think that could be his first loss.
You don't think they go, they keep Kenny babyface?
I don't know. That's up for them to decide. But
look, anything could happen. We don't know how long until Kenny is able to be healthy. But if it continues like this, I mean, if they can pull off Okada as heel and Kenny comes back, he's going to be way over babyface, because then they can start telling the story right before he comes back about how he was fired and all this. And I think that makes for a really, really good dynamic in AEW where, look, you want a babyface? Kenny can be an amazing babyface because he can be corny. He can be cheesy. Like, we know this. And your babyface can be that. So I think that sets up perfectly, maybe helps Okada in a certain way. But again, that's maybe, who knows how long it's going to be. So yeah, he's going to need something. And maybe this Kingston thing, maybe that is where, obviously, now twice he's beat the hell out of Kingston. Maybe that's where they go and he becomes that champion. But depending on how many, of course he's a full-time wrestler, but what's his schedule going to look like in wrestling Okada? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what his schedule is going to look like, but I know, I mean, they got a new toy and I think they're going to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only with the EVPs. So, I mean, it would make sense if he's there more times than not.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be seeing maybe, I mean, they've already got him in matches, so I'm not saying that they're holding off on that, but I mean, he's got a toy, he's going to use it.
Yeah. And like you said, you already brought up Mercedes debuting last night at Big Business in Boston, like everybody thought.
It's almost like everybody knew that was going to happen.
And a lot like they did, like I told you, like they did the CM Punk thing. It was dead center beginning. I know you missed it because you tuned in just after it, but I loved how she looked.
I rewatched it.
Okay. I loved how she looked. I loved the presentation of her.
Her face looked different, no?
She, you know what? Yeah, I thought like...
I couldn't pinpoint what, but it looked different.
I felt like her skin looked a little lighter.
Maybe. I don't know.
I felt complexion, she looked a little lighter, and it could have been what she was wearing and the lighting and all that. It could have been that. I just felt like she looked a little off, but she looked fantastic. I thought she looks in great shape. I thought her presentation was great. I thought her speech on the mic, no shocker. She was great. The CEO thing, look, it's legit boss to the CEO. CEO is a boss. It's easy to chant. It's easy to market. It's all, I mean, no brainers for everything. But it was a good move. You had the women main eventing last night, which was great for the women. You had then, of course, Willow getting beat up and Mercedes making the save and that ending that way, but you still have a little bit of a story from when Mercedes broke her ankle and Willow won the New Japan title off of her. So that there's a story there at least that they can go off of. So that intrigues me a little bit. I hope that this doesn't push more women down now that they have her. But I'm afraid with AEW's reputation in the recent past that it might. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope more women, because Toni Storm and Deonna, they're still look like that feud's going to keep going, so which I like.
That's why you split shows.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
You know, everyone the time that they need. All right. Yeah. So last night I was laying in bed and I was actually thinking of like how it felt when Mercedes comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the analogy I came up with. Now, I don't mean this as like a slight or anything like that. Like, don't think too much into it. This is just my analogy. That's it.
It's how you felt when you kind of saw it?
Not when I saw it. Like, after I thought about it. Like, after, okay. Yeah, like after I rewatched it and after the end, after how it ended. Remember when Harper got hurt for the Phillies?
Okay.
And, you know, the normal trajectory for when you come back, you play for the Iron Pigs for a little bit before you come back.
Yeah.
And I remember watching, and everyone was excited because Harper homered in an Iron Pigs game.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, all right, cool. He homered, but when is he coming? When is he ready to come back up?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was the feeling. Like, I was like, it's like a homer in a minor league game of like a big MLB star who's just buying time to go back up to the majors. Like, that's how I don't know how
the funny exactly thing is. I understand what you're saying. I completely 100% understand what you're saying, but it does come off as a slight. The way you're saying it, I know you're not meaning for it to, but it does. The way you're saying it, it comes off like one.
And you know what? It kind of feels that way. It kind of feels like it's like I will not lie about this. Like, I don't consider AEW like the major leagues. They're not on the same level. Like, they don't generate more. Like, you're playing smaller arenas. You're not selling them out.
With the exception of last night. Last night they sold out the Garden.
Yeah, I mean, and like I texted you last night. Let's see how many more. Like, they're not going to be doing Garden size shows after this.
No.
Let's see if they can fill 8,000, 5,000, and then work their way up. It feels like it is the minors. It's like a strong minor league club. They're like fun to watch sometimes, but it's just like, all right, now let me go watch and see who's playing at the World Series. Like, something like that. Like WrestleMania. Like, I feel like, look, I'm not trying to put down AEW. Like, that's just how I feel. But I will say this. It didn't feel like a home run. It felt more like an intentional walk.
That's even worse.
Yes. Yes, it feels that's like
even worse. You're making it 10 times worse.
Like, I don't feel, because it wasn't really a home run for me. It really wasn't. It wasn't like, I didn't get that feeling of like, oh man, this is great. Like,
so you didn't get the CM Punk feeling?
No, not even close. Like, it's like CM Punk was like fucking Butcher and Singer down the city, and Mercedes was. It was Outback. I mean, it was what it was. Like,
now we're going steaks. Okay,
one was the best steak in the world that I've ever had, and one was. I mean, it's serviceable. I mean, in a bottle.
I get what you're saying, and I get why, like, how you could look at it and feel that way. And I know you're not doing it to be, like you said, you're not doing it as a slight. It's literally how you took it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm just putting an analogy together.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it to be mean. There's no ill-heartedness to it. But, like, and look, I will say that there are more parts now of AEW that I want to watch than there were a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Like, when I actually watch it, I'm not like, oh man, this is terrible. I don't want, like, I'm more of an open mind to it. It's just that, like, look, Sasha wasn't even my favorite four horsewoman. Like, I don't think she's as big as she would like to believe she is. Like, I'm all for investing in yourself, and I'm sure that she just invested a hell of a lot in herself. And I'm pretty sure Tony Khan probably paid more for her than WWE was going to do. So, look, you bettered yourself financially. But, I mean, I don't think she's a huge star. I mean, I think Bianca Belair has surpassed her. I think Rhea Ripley has surpassed her. I mean, Charlotte's still over top her. I think they're, like, WWE, like, if we're putting Mercedes at probably the top at AEW, if you slide her over to WWE, I don't even think she's the top. So it's not like, and then you got Becky.
And Bailey at this point.
Unfortunately, and I'll have to go slap over to fucking WWE real quick, they're fumbling fucking Bailey's fucking Royal Rumble win. Like,
I don't think they are.
I don't think they're devoting the amount of time. Like, it's not holding as much importance, obviously, as Cody. But, and even some of the other secondary storylines. But that's a big deal. This is one of those ongoing storylines, and it had a great build. I don't think that it's getting the appreciation and the time that it's needed. It's almost like it's a secondary, third thought for them.
I see why you say that. I see why you say that.
I think they're doing Bailey dirty. But going back to AEW, look, what I said has no fucking meaning whatsoever to anybody else. I mean, it's just how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see, just like everybody else, how it's going to go. Like, what the next few months for AEW are going to look like. They still have people that are on the shelf that when they come back, like, it's just going to add to, like, hopefully they have things for them to do. Like, you got Adam Cole coming back eventually. You have maybe MJF. Like, where does MJF fit in with some of the new people that have come? Like, imagine MJF and a Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Or MJF.
Well, and also, like I said, like Keith Lee. Keith Lee is another one who has been.
Keith Lee, and you brought him up. Like, I think Keith Lee's on that Walter level where he could work anybody.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think he's like one of those, just like.
Dude, yeah. There is still Keith Lee and Dijakovic are still one of my favorite fucking rivalries ever. That, I forget how many, 3, 4, 5 matches they did in NXT were fucking phenomenal. Some of the best wrestling I've ever seen. And then you have him and Adam Cole. When him and Adam Cole went at it, like, Keith Lee can do it all. And so there's another one that they have massive talent over there with Keith Lee. And he's just hurt. But, like, still, Keith Lee hasn't even come close to the potential that he has in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I think injuries because this is twice now, I believe, or maybe more, mm-hmm. that he's been on the shelf.
Yeah.
And he should have been pushed somewhere by now.
Yeah.
Like, he should have been major title contention at some point. But, yeah, you know what? It's going to be interesting to see AEW when the next couple months. I mean, Kyle O'Reilly coming back, I think that's awesome. You still got so much talent that they have there that just need to be spread. Like, I think, like, just spread them out. Like, you have big names that you can put on both shows, and they can be regulars. And you can do what makes it even more special is, like, when you do a rare crossover. I mean, you, don't forget, you have fucking ROH that you're trying to get as well. I mean, they got so much going on over there. It's just, AEW's just been hard to pick through.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those things, and I wish I didn't have to pick through, but it's like so much going on. You're just like, you thought WWE had too much TV time. AEW doesn't have enough, but they don't even have the time slots to put to get out there for all the fucking talent that they have. They got so many fucking people.
Yeah. I mean, look at just Jay White and the Guns and the Acclaimed and FTR. And like, it's just, there's just talent on talent on talent. It's,
The list goes on. And you have Ruby Riott, you have Britt Baker, you have
Thunder Rosa.
Soraya, Thunder Rosa. I mean, you're stacked.
I know. It's an embarrassment of riches. And it's just, there's so many people you want to see, but there's only so many hours in programming that you get. So it sucks.
I will say this. I'm not a big fan of Julie Hart. I like her. I like her until she gets into the ring. Like, I think her presentation is great. Like, mm-hmm. the entrance, I think, is great. But I, like, once she's in the ring, like, I feel like she loses something. Does that make any sense?
Like, I think her in ring, I don't want to say ability, in ring style, doesn't match her gimmick. So, like, she comes out this very dark, ominous, very cool presentation, cool gimmick. And then she gets in the ring, and it's timid, maybe, is a good word for it. Or, like, it just doesn't come off the same way, where I think, actually, the better person who has been with her now, who has got with her, is Sky Blue. I think Sky Blue is that in the ring. I think she matches that gimmick in the ring. I think Sky Blue is very good and comes off more believable with that gimmick than Julia Hart does. But yeah, I think Sky Blue's a little, to me, is a little bit better. But I'm not taking away from Julia Hart's ability. I just think, I don't know, there's something that doesn't match with her gimmick in ring.
They dropped the ball with Ruby Soho.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, they did.
She should have held a title. She should have held a TBS title. She should have done something.
Yeah.
Some ball dropping.
Yeah.
It's like New Year's Eve over there.
So the one thing I did want to get back to with WWE is it finally, I mean, what it took that following Monday after Sting's retirement. So what, March 4th? To finally have the first Hall of Fame announcement for the first induction. Like, this, I don't think it's ever been this late. We usually get one at least by Rumble or the Monday after Rumble. And it's fucking March 4th and we're just getting the first one. But of course, now we have five of them. So what looks like to be the headliner is Paul Heyman, which fits perfectly with this year's WrestleMania, Paul Heyman being inducted, and so fucking fitting. And deserved at that as well.
Yep. Blocks down the street from ECW Arena.
Yeah. So, I mean, they announced Paul Heyman. They announced Bull Nakano. They announced, which kind of shocked me, but I get it, is Muhammad Ali. That blew me away when I saw Muhammad Ali's picture pop up on social media.
Isn't Pete Rose in there?
Yeah. Pete Rose is in there.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that Muhammad Ali is then.
I mean, look, like I said, I understand why. I just didn't expect it. That's why. I just didn't expect seeing Muhammad Ali.
Wait, but isn't I get Tyson it. In too?
Tyson's in too. Yeah.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali definitely should have been. He should have been in there before Tyson.
Yeah, I did see someone say, like, I'm surprised. I kind of thought Muhammad Ali was already in there. So,
yeah. Maybe he fucked up.
I do like the tag team. You have the U.S. Express with Mike Rotunda and Wyndham, Barry Wyndham. Yeah. I think that's cool. You get a little nod to Bray there. That's going to be cool to see him. And then just announced Thunderbolt Patterson was announced this week as well. So I guess that would round it out. I don't know if they're going to.
As long as nobody pulls a fucking Hillbilly Jim and fucking goes for fucking 60 hours about nonsense and rambling and inside stories.
Hillbilly Jim and I think Larry Zbyszko are two of the most painful fucking acceptance speeches I've ever seen for the Hall of Fame.
Like, yeah, two different reasons, but very similar feelings.
Yeah, but like, the only one I think that you're going to get that kind of speech from is Paul Heyman, and it's going to be, from start to finish, one of the most entertaining things you ever hear.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so I do want to ask you this. Who would your pick be to induct Paul Heyman?
I saw a lot of people saying either Punk or ECW alumni like Dreamer. And you got Stone Cold. I mean, if you're, it's tough. So the person, like, I think, like, I think I said this already, I think the person that I would have picked is dead. I think I would have had Rick Rude.
Okay.
I mean, they do have history. Heyman, Austin, Stunning Steve Austin, the whole ECW, he brought him in, the ECW. He cut one of his most notable non-WWE promos of all time.
Yep.
Calling everybody out.
Yeah.
Basically everybody. It's tough. Punk, he's the Heyman guy. I mean,
the original.
They had a hell of a run together. My God, just getting them two back together again would be cool. I mean, if I were to pick someone, I think I would pick Punk, and I would edge him over Stone Cold just a little bit. I feel like him and Punk were just, I mean, they were just money together. And you get them both talking. I mean, I don't know. And I would save Austin for other things.
Bully Ray brought up a really good point. He's like, if you really want to shake things up because of the uniqueness of a Paul Heyman and the length, like, there's not a lot of people when you induct them have that length and are still alive of a career. So, like,
not only that, he's been around every single fucking promotion. He's been.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean.
Yeah.
You could have Bischoff up there. You could have oddities of people from fucking ECW. You could have the Stone Cold. You can have the Punks. You could have, I mean, just look at his resume. The only person you're not going to get is fucking Brock.
Yeah.
And Brock did that to himself.
Yeah. Well, and that was Bully's point, is to kind of mix it up and do Austin for the WCW run where he was in the Dangerous Alliance, Dreamer do for ECW, and then have Punk do for WWE, and kind
just
of
have him split as him up. He goes through his whole career, just have another person surprise him.
Yeah. Or you could just do just three inductors and have like a story or two for each, and you know what I mean? And then have him. But, like, I like that idea. Like, I don't think WWE would ever do it, but I think it's cool. I think it's something different.
Well, if they can keep everyone else's fucking speeches down, then they could do it.
Yeah. They didn't announce the Warrior Award yet, so we'll still have that as well before the Night of the Hall of Fame. I think this might be it. Like, so you have five inductees. I mean, in six with the tag team being two, but yeah, five announcements, and then the Warrior Award is six. So I think that's probably going to do it. And that should be pretty cool to watch that Friday night after SmackDown at the Wells Fargo Center.
Hmm.
Which
throw that one in.
which I cannot believe, like, because every Raw, every SmackDown, right as it starts, they keep showing the link, like a live feed of the link. And, like, and then they just put up however many days left. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Wait, they do that live?
Yeah. So what they'll do, I don't know how, like, if they're getting, or it might just be like a night feed that they keep, that they play, that like they're showing it? The link. Yeah, yeah.
I was gonna say I'll miss the first part of Raw and I'll just drive by it.
No, because it's like it definitely looks like a drone or a helicopter shot of the link at night. But yeah, I mean that's like every time they do it.
Every Raw that passes, we are 1 week closer.
Yes. Yeah, 23 days as of today.
Jesus Christ, dude.
23 fucking days. That's I can't fucking wait. I'm so excited.
We're under a month.
Dude.
We're under a month.
I was looking. That's the other thing before we end. I was looking at what this city is doing, or what the surrounding area, I should say, is doing. If they would have did this 10 years ago, I don't know what we would have done. Like, we would have, like, I feel like we would have went broke. Like, I feel like we would have went broke if this would have happened 10 years ago. Like, obviously, we have way more responsibilities now, the both of us.
But like, even if it was 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll even go that much sooner. If 35.
We didn't know each other 10 years ago. Wait, did we? 2015. No, not yet.
No, not yet. All right. So just say 35 instead of 40. Dude, the amount of money that we would be spending, because I'm looking at all this shit from WWE World at the Convention Center to countless, and I mean countless, WrestleMania parties that I'm seeing left and right from the 2300 Arena. Busted Opens, they're having a WrestleMania party at 2300. You have S.
What? How are two separate people having
party events? You have Battleground on Friday, right? You have their giant three-event thing on Friday. Saturday from 1 to 5 or 12 to 5, I have to check the time, is Busted Open's WrestleMania party at 2300. And then at 6 o'clock at 2300 is the night one viewing party for Battleground. And they're hosting that, and they're doing the same thing Sunday at 6 o'clock. Matt Riddle is hosting a WrestleMania watch party at Dave and Buster's on the river. I saw, of course, Suplex Vintage Wrestling is doing a block party. You have Rex Fest, which is right down by, I think it's 13th and Locust. You have countless, the collective. You have so many embarrassment of riches when it comes to wrestling and options to do is I can't even fathom. I know there's a lot of people, and one, Scott, is going to, has the package for the collective. I can't wait to see how many he actually goes to. But, like, it's he's just...
I guarantee he goes on all.
He's, I don't think he's going to them all. He's trying to go to one or two a day, I think he said. But, like, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Did you see the one match that they announced before the culture?
No, I didn't.
Frontman versus Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh, when is that match?
I don't know. I got to see one for. I want to say probably it's either Friday or Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. I got to see when the show. I got to watch that match.
I'm like, though, like, fucking, I want to go see it fucking live.
Trying to think. Yeah, I don't know
if it's feasible.
I don't know. We'll have to look into that. We'll have to do some deeper diving on that one. This
off the clock.
Yeah. It's going to be absolutely incredible. That week is going to be phenomenal. And I cannot wait for our city to be invaded by thousands upon thousands of wrestling fans and the WWE and all the independent companies. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I hope everyone makes a ton of money. All these businesses and the wrestlers and the promotions, I hope everyone makes a ton of money because it's so much fun to watch. I can't wait. So I think that'll wrap it up. Next week, before we end, next week we have a big show. We have Brian Johnson, we have Rhett Titus, and they are going, well, face to face via Zoom, but they will be talking about.
We'll make sure their pictures are next to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be more like a Brady Bunch setup.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, I mean, the events going on, April 4th, Five Star Wrestling presents We Are Five Stars, and they are fighting for the Fight Pro Hybrid Premier Championship that Rhett Titus holds. So that'll be a phenomenal match. If you know anything about those two guys, they in the ring are second to none. So it's going to be a battle. And you know Brian can talk. I can't wait to see what Rhett has to say. And having those two on, I can't wait. I mean, it's one of those shows me and Joe talk about all the time where we'll turn the mic on, we'll hit record, we'll do an intro, and kind of just sit back because I feel like we're not going to have to do a lot of work next week. It's going to be one hell of a show and fun to watch. So don't miss next week's show for sure. And then after that, we got what? A show or two left before Mania?
Yeah, maybe two.
Maybe two. We'll do one that following week on the 26th, 27th, and then the week of Mania. We'll be April 2nd or 3rd. We'll be doing our last show. So not many left till Mania. So we hope you enjoyed. Look forward to next week, and joining us next week with those two guys should be amazing. So thank you for watching and listening, and we'll be talking to you very soon.